Father's intention or the Father's vision is that he will manifest himself through everyone, every part of the body of Christ. Experience will be measured. Your victory will be measured according to the purity of your doctrine. Your progress will be measured according to the soundness of your doctrine. Things have the power to shape a believer's future. They continue steadfastly first in the apostles' doctrine, because it is from this doctrine that the power will flow with the intention that God had in mind. Honestly, Kai, this teaching series of the month, I will advocate that you don't miss any session. Amen. That's my humble advocacy. Amen. Don't miss any session. And even after the teachings, get the materials and listen to them. Hallelujah. You've heard me talk about core courses and elective courses, and applying them to the teaching of God's word is a reality. It's true. That means as we go to scriptures, they are electives and they are core. They are core courses. Amen. If you spend your life doing electives, you'll not graduate from the school. True or false? Hallelujah. So you have to understand teachings that are core and teachings that are elective. Glory to God. Very important. What we're about to get into is a core course. Amen. He's a caucus. And I trust that by the power of the Spirit, the mighty hand of the Lord will rest upon you, that you will not just hear the teachings, but you'll be transported into the expected experience. Amen. Is somebody sleeping already in church? I say you'll not just hear the teachings, but you'll be transported into the experiences of the things you'll be hearing. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Are you alive this morning? Glory, glory, glory to God. Primitive apostolic practices, part one. Somebody may be saying, amen. You can go ahead and shout if you want to shout. It's fine. We're a happy church. Amen. Somebody may be saying, pastor, this looks very, very conk, very deep, primitive apostolic practices. You'll be saying, why do we have to teach things like this? And this is my response to you. You said the Father has a vision for the New Testament church. And by the way, the focus of the New Testament is different from the Old Testament. I've said that again and again and again. Many things, a gulf of difference between the Old and the New Testament. I trust God will get into this as we teach. But here is my focus right now. The Father's intention or the Father's vision is that he will manifest himself through everyone, every part of the body of Christ. Never forget that as long as you live. That means New Testament ministry, New Testament kingdom life, New Testament manifestations. Let me put it that way. It's not like it was in the days of Moses. When only Moses was shining, he came from the presence of God. As he was speaking, his face shone and they had to cover his face. He went to hear God for them. He brought the miracles to them. He brought the supernatural to them. That is not God's intention in the New Testament. And any pastor who uses such model is at best Moses. Amen. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that glory is passing away. Are we together? That means we are in the era where the church will be fully activated. Oh, you hear me say that again and again. That means every part of the body of Christ will be positioned to give expression to the fullness of God, whether they are in church pulpit or in the marketplace pulpit. Are we together? Glory to God forevermore. So this is God's intention. This is God's vision, that he can manifest himself through every part of the body of Christ. And you need to get this. This is not just something we say. This is what we believe as a ministry. This is what we believe the model of ministry for the New Testament is. This is what we believe. And we are not just cooking it up. Even the prophets prophesied about it. Moses in Numbers chapter 11 verse 29, I believe. You see, when they came and met him, that elders that I met that were prophesying outside of the camp, bade them to stop. Oh, Moses said, are you so zealous for me? Are you concerned that others are manifesting what I'm manifesting? Can't you see the vision? He said, I would God that all of God's people were prophets. I would God that all of the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. This was Moses the prophet talking. And he was, who are prophets? Prophets are those who have revelation from God. Prophets are those who hear from God. Prophets are those who speak for God. And that applies to the two contexts, the two categories here. Moses was a prophet. So he saw by revelation that God will make all of his people prophets and he will put his spirit upon them. Glory to God. That means God's intention is that all of his people be prophets. Glory to God. That means we are all supposed to hear from heaven, speak for heaven, and represent God on the earth. Did you get that? That is what prophets do. That is what prophets do. I would to God that all of God's people were prophets. Joel chapter 2 from verse 28. He says, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Upon all flesh. So this is not showbiz for pastors and apostles. No. Ministry is not the workings of miracles. Displaying the power of God, manifesting the many-sided wisdom of God is not the exclusive reserve of pastors, apostles, and prophets. No. Everyone, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And that is our model in this place. You remember? We have what we call the word model. We win, we equip, we deploy. That's what that is about. Hallelujah. That's what that is about. That means the days are coming where, in fact, it has started happening. Amen. We have many testimonies to that effect, where members lay hands on people and miracles happen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. People who have not ordained yet as pastors. Hallelujah. Miracles. Glory to God. But that is going to multiply. Amen. Hallelujah. Because that's God's vision. And that's one of the signs of an accurate apostolic community. For those of you who like big English, do you enjoy that? That's one of the signs. That look, everybody is mobilized to represent God. Not just mobilized, trained and equipped. So you see a businessman, Marco Petos Kabaya, who is a prophet on the inside. But his pulpit is telecommunications business. But when you touch him, he's a prophet. When you touch her, she's a prophet. You see a businesswoman, a fashion person. On the outside, she's a model, she's a fashion person. But when you get close, she's a prophetess. When you touch her, fire burns. Glory to God. And that literally, amen. Hallelujah. I will pour out my spirit. And we saw that play out in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible said the Spirit of God came upon all of them. All. Not just the apostles. The disciples alike. The Spirit of the Lord came upon all of them. Everyone in the upper room. And listen, that was why the attention of the that was what got the attention of the multitude. I want to think that if it were just the 12 apostles who had cloven tongues of fire upon them, it wouldn't have gotten the attention of the multitude. No, it wouldn't have. But you see, this is God's intention. And that is consistent with what God said about the end time. I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. That is consistent with what Isaiah saw in Isaiah 2. He said, the word of the Lord that I saw in the last days, saith God, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains. And I've explained that over time. Exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to her. Are you with me? Glory to God. So as a trainer, as a pastor, as a minister of the gospel who raises people, you must adjust your curriculum to fit God's expectation. Are we together? God has an expectation. So what do? You adjust your curriculum to fit God's expectation. I'm talking to pastors that may be watching now. Hallelujah. Listen, any church that just produces consumer is out of alignment with God's purpose. And by the way, you cannot go to a church that is only concerned about making you a consumer. Every enemy pursuing my next contract, die. Oh Lord, my next level. Oh Lord, the whole life is about chasing needs being met, using God to meet needs. Christianity is more than that. I say Christianity is more than that. Who agrees with me on that? Now, there's nothing wrong with using the word of God to meet immediate human needs, but our work is beyond that. Our work is to train, equip people, position them for God's expectation, which is that he wants to manifest through everyone. Are we together? Glory to God forevermore. That means it's not every church you can go. Amen. By the way, was it every school that was close to you went to? No. You were selective. You decided based on your interest and sometimes based on the money on your hand. But you didn't go to the nearest school. You went to the school that fit your purpose. In the same way, you don't go to the nearest church. They go to places that prepare you for where you're going. I say, it's my parents' church. We were born inside that place, so we have to remain there. You may close your destiny for eternity. Go and ask Jonathan. Oh, you know about Jonathan in the Bible? Jonathan was the friend of David, the son of Saul. You remember? He prophesied. He wasn't David. He prophesied. He said, the Lord has shown me you will be king. Was that correct or not? And I will be next to you. That's what he spoke by the Spirit. He says, you will be king, I'll be next to you. What happened? Did David become king or not? He became king. The first part of the prophecy was fulfilled. Was the second part fulfilled? Did he become next to David? No. Where did he die? Close to his father. Question, what was he doing there? Sentiment. As you grow, you must get rid of sentiment. You must be loyal. Your first loyalty must be to your destiny. Amen. Are you here? Very important. Are you blessed already? So this is why we go through teachings like this. Primitive apostolic practices. The way forward. Primitive apostolic practices. The way forward. Primitive, for those who may be asking, primitive simply means original or primary. Did you get that? That's what primitive means. It just simply means original, primary, crude, belonging to or characteristic of an early stage of development. So you know what we're talking about. Primitive. So the primary apostolic practices. An apostolic is not something big. It's from apostolos, which means to be sent. An apostle is somebody sent with ambassadorial authority. Amen. We talked about that in the triumphant church. Glory to God. We said the church is apostolic by calling, by design, and by assignment. You remember that? So there's an apostolic DNA in every believer. Glory to God. That means we are sent to accomplish a task on the earth. We represent an agenda on the earth. That's who we are as the body of Christ. So when we say primitive apostolic practices, these are the practices that positioned the early church or the different dispensations of the church to carry out God's counsel and God's vision for their dispensation. And it cannot be lost to our generation. Are we together? It cannot be lost to our generation. So we have to go through them and create time to pray. Thank God, total immersion is upper week Monday also. Glory to God. We have to look out for platforms to exercise us, in fact, to learn about these things, to remind ourselves about these things, and to exercise ourselves in the practice of these things. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Are you ready now? Acts chapter 4. Sorry, Acts chapter 2, 41 to 47. Acts chapter 2, 41 to 47. Glory, glory to God. I'm going to read quickly. And by the way, throughout the teaching, this will be our landing page. Amen. Of course, we'll go through other parts of the book of Acts and other parts of scriptures to reinforce the things we'll be talking. But we'll be dwelling so much, especially verse 42. Amen. All right. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about how many? 3,000 souls. Remarkable. Remarkable. Every detail in the Bible is important. When Moses came down from the mountain, 3,000 people died. Amen. Am I right? I think so. Amen. The last record. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In judgment. But when the Holy Ghost came at Pentecost, at the first Pentecost, 3,000 people died. At this real Pentecost, you know, that was a shadow of the real Pentecost. He said, blessed are those who know the spiritual significance of the Jewish feast. Do you remember? They shall walk, O God, in the light of thy countenance. Psalm 89, verse 15. Hallelujah. At this second Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved. And they, who are they? This young church that was just formed. They continued steadfastly. There was a devotion. There was a dedication. Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, one, in fellowship, two, in breaking of bread 3, and in prayers. But it gives an adjective to how they engage these things, continued steadfastly. Next verse. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. 44. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. That's love there. It's part of what we're going to examine. And so their possessions, my goodness, and goods imparted to all men, everyone has had need. Next verse, that's sacrificial giving. Amen. We're going to see that also. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Were you blessed by the reading? All right. So we will begin by measuring on verse 42. It says that continue steadfastly. They continue steadfastly. The first thing he mentions there is the apostles' doctrine. So that's the first thing. The first primitive apostolic practice we're going to talk about is commitment to sound doctrine. Write it down. Your life is about to change. Commitment to sound doctrine. Commitment to sound doctrine. That's the first thing. Commitment, sound doctrine. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I mean, see the way the Spirit of God is going to lay out these things for us. You'll be blessed. Hallelujah. He says, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So the first thing there is their commitment to sound doctrine. Now, there were many doctrines there. Doctrine simply means teachings. Doctrine simply means, and you need to write this down, when we mention doctrine, think about a body of truth that forms the system of belief of a person or of a group of people. It's the body of truth. That's one of the perfect definitions you can get. That's what doctrine means. The body of truth that forms the belief system of a person or of a people. So he said they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Don't forget that at this time, the Pharisees also had their doctrine. You remember, he said, Matthew's gospel, we're going to read it. St. Matthew 16 or so. Jesus talked about the doctrines of the scribes, of the Pharisees. So they have their doctrine. We're going to read that shortly, like I said. They have their doctrine. The teachers of the law had their doctrines. The philosophers had their doctrines. Because there were philosophers in those days. You know, when Paul got to Athens also, you know, there were people, Epicureans. They were just gathering, interested in just knowledge. So, are there new things you have to tell us today? They're just saying, nice, nice, nice. And Paul thought he could play at that intellectual level. When they were done with him, the next town he went to, he made up his decision. It was Corinth. That was what he wrote in 1 Corinthians 2. He said, I was determined not to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. You are speaking from an experience. So the philosophers have their doctrines. The political elite of the day had their doctrine. But this church, this apostolic church, were determined to continue with the apostles' doctrine, which is what we call sound doctrine. Have it together. In case you have no understanding of what doctrine means, doctrine is not just what you can decide to be interested in or not. Okay, all this doctrine talk, me, I'm just interested. I just want to get blessed. I'll pray my prayer. God will bless me and I'll live my life and go to heaven. Then you are not ready to stand for God. You can write this down. Doctrine is what determines people's belief. And your belief determines your experience. That means nobody can experience anything in his walk with God beyond the purity of the doctrine that he has been taught. Nobody. You can't. Your experience will be measured. Your victory will be measured according to the purity of your doctrine. Your progress will be measured according to the soundness of your doctrine. Are you still here? Ephesians chapter 4. Let's just read from 12. Okay, can give me from 11. Okay, we can read from verse 12. No. Go back to 11, sorry. We can read from verse 10. That's what I wanted to say. Commitment to sound doctrine. He that descended is the same also that ascended up, far above all heavens, that he might fill all in all. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying, that means the building of the body of Christ. Till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of God, of the Son of God rather, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is God's vision. But for this to be done, he had to give some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He had to equip people who bring to the people sound doctrine so that there can be maturity, so that there can be a build up according to what God has on his mind. He talks about the full measure of this, the stature of the fullness of Christ. That means there's a standard measurement. Are we together? There's a standard measurement. That's what he's saying. There's a standard measurement. You see, biblical interpretation or the concept of doctrine is not subjective. Write it down. When we mention sound doctrine, it's not subjective. Keep that scripture up. Subjective means it is not subject to different opinions. There is an exactness to what sound doctrine means. There's a definiteness to what sound doctrine means. It's not about this is what this denomination believes, this is what this other denomination believes, this is what I believe. That is human opinion. There's an exactness. Of course, men may create doctrines, men may form doctrines, but that doesn't change God's intention. When you look into the Bible, you can see very clearly the biblical definition of sound doctrine and what we can use to measure what the sound doctrine is. You need to hear me. Are you here? So I'm talking about the power of doctrines. Continue. It says, unto the fullness of Christ, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine. If you read your Bible very well, you notice that wind is prophetic of spirit. That means, you can write this down, that means the greatest entry point of spirit is doctrine. Write it down. I'm going through the pain of taking us through this month. This is how spirits come into influence in the life, in the family, in the people, in the church. Whether positive spirit or negative spirit, doctrine. He says, not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So he associates wind with doctrine. Remarkable. Wind with doctrine. Quickly, give me Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, 1 to 3. Deuteronomy 32, 1 to 3. Look at this. He said, give ear. This is a song of Moses. O ye heavens, I will speak and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Now, this is Moses the prophet. Next verse. He says, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. Again, the Bible likened the Holy Spirit to the rain. and by that Spirit to reign. It talks about pouring out His Spirit. Have you read that in your Bible before? He says, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the shower upon the grass. So when we talk about doctrine, this is not something you should treat lightly. This is not something you should feel, this pastor's strength is doctrine. That pastor's... No. It's something every believer must pay attention to. Because your future depends on the purity of your doctrine now. Are we together? He likened it to wind. He likened it to rain. That means doctrines have the power to shape a believer's future. Why do you think all two scriptures... And we're going to read a whole lot of scriptures talking about commitment to sound doctrine. Paul, in particular, warned a lot. The apostles warned a lot about believers sticking with sound doctrine. You see a lot of warnings. You see a lot of talk around sound doctrine. And of course, the doctrines of devils. Why? Because doctrine determines the future of a people. If your doctrine is sound, your future is sound. Your results are sound. Are we together? Your experiences will be sound. Commitment to sound doctrine. Commitment to sound doctrine. Because the doctrine determines how far people can go in life and with God. Hebrews chapter 13, 7-3, put it up. I know it takes discipline, but you cannot open your ears to everyone talking from the Bible. Be committed to sound doctrine. It will determine the direction of your life. I say that again, be committed to sound doctrine. It will determine the direction of your life. We're in the age of social media where everyone has something to say. We'll run tests of doctrine. We will. Everyone has something to say. Even those who don't know their left from their right spiritually. Anybody can go on any website, Google something, read it, and start talking. But it's more than that too. There's a spirit that confirms every right doctrine. And when people open their mind over a long period of time to wrong doctrines, it produces error. And that error invites spirits that control their lives. They may be clapping and jumping and be believers, but they'll be amazed and they'll wonder why their lives are going in the direction that they ought not to go. Why? Error is a spirit. I told you that the entry point for spirit is doctrine. Yes. It's a spirit. It's not about just saying this something wrong. No. When people veer into errors according to biblical standard of doctrine, their problem is not that they are saying the wrong things. That's the least of the problem. The problem is the opening of vistas in the spirit that attract demons that control their lives, even though they profess to be believers. Sound doctrine. Hebrews 13, 7-3, quickly. Hebrews 13. He says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Now, he is even beginning to give you a guide as to how to check your doctrine. He's saying you did not just appear in Christianity. There were people who opened your eyes to the things of the Spirit. Are you here? And not just because they opened your eyes to the things of the Spirit. Their manner of life was a reflection of God's expectation as far as sound doctrine is concerned. You see it shortly. He said, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. The Greek word there means manner of life. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Whose faith follow, meaning considering the outcome of the things they are talking about in their own lives. Did you get that? Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, the outcome of their manner of life. And that manner of life proved that Jesus Christ is consistent. Is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you will see in their life that Christ is consistent. He's consistent in character. He's consistent in power. He's consistent in love. He's consistent in wisdom. Are you here? He said, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Next verse. You see, he's talking about doctrine. You see it now. He says, so be not carried about. Are you seeing the conversation? They are not separate. This is the same line of thought. He says, but not carried about by diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that they have been established with grace, not with meat which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. So he says, it's a good thing for they have to be established in grace. And he gives you a reference. Those who teach you the word, those who have introduced you to the things of the spirit. But that is not enough. You look at the end of their manner of life. The outcomes of their life is consistent with the Christos. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Doctrine. Let me tell you something. You know, I told my friend something one day. You were surprised. I think there was a prophet from Ghana. Good guy and all that. So he saw that I was not excited. Man of God, say supernatural. I say, every prophet that moves in this way is a suspect to me until he proves otherwise. He was surprised. You hear me shout about men of God on Facebook. Don't know. Go and check old. Every man that comes to you must be tested. That he moves Rema. We're going to get into that. What is even Rema? Rema is no revelation. The Greek word for Rema, the meaning is not revelation. It means word. Are you here? Or somebody just meets you. You say, met somebody in market. You say, your name is Fatih. Your mother is sick right now. It's even the husbands were talking. And then you are carried away. Wake up. This is the age of social media. Likely they saw you on Facebook. That's level one. Second level, familiar spirit. Familiar spirit. Are you here? He says, you can see their manner of life is consistent. It shows that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Doctrine. Matthew 16, 11 to 12. Hi, are you blessed already? How many of you have your heart resonate with the things I'm saying? You know, this is the foundation of primitive apostolic practices. Commitment to sound doctrine. You are not going nowhere without that. You'll be unstable. You'll be unstable. When this one talks, you say, hey, what are they saying? Look at what he said. He said, not moved about by diverse and strange doctrines. No, you are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You are not. You are not. Your mother calls you. They say there are these prophets that they say they want to go and pray in our compound. There are some things that were buried there. They need to dig it out. Please send money. Send money. You need to go and pray. You can see what's happening in your family. That is a gap in sound doctrine. Listen, everybody from Africa has something buried in their compound. If it's not your father, your grandfather did it. If it's not your grandfather, your great-grandfather did it. If it's not your great-grandfather, your great-great-grandfather did it. Selah. You can see a gap in sound. Your life will change. Don't worry. A gap in sound doctrine. So you see people running from pillar to post. Why? Their heart. He says it is a good thing for the heart to be established with grace. I mean, sound doctrine will give you stability. That's what he's saying. But you see believers so unstable, there's a doctrine gap. Sound doctrine will give you stability. Matthew 16:11. He said, how is it that ye do not understand that I speak it? Now, you know the background. He was talking about bread. And then they were thinking of something else. He was talking about yeast and bread. Give me from verse 10. 10, 9. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you blessed? He said, neither the seven loaves of the 4,000. And how many? He was asking them. Thank you. He was asking them. And then the conversation there wasn't about bread and yeast. So that's what he's explaining now. Verse 11 and 12. I'm trying to show you the power of doctrine. And sandwiched within it is here and there. I'm giving you how to test sound doctrine already, if you notice. How is it that you do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread? Maybe give me New King James or something. That you should beware of the leaving of the Pharisees. Okay. All right. How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaving of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? That's yeast. You know what leaving is? That's yeast. Next verse. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaving of bread, but of the doctrine of Pharisees and Sadducees. So he likened doctrine to yeast. Oh God. You know what yeast does? As small as it is, when you introduce, oh my God, is somebody blessed? When you introduce it into the bread, into the dough, the Bible said he worketh the whole dough. He causes it to swell. It looks small but has significant impact and effect. So he told his disciples, he said, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because it will work like yeast in the dough. To walk, he said, no, I just need impartation. It will work like yeast in the dough. Very soon, you forget that your sins are forgiven. Very soon, you'll be trying to get into works and try to get things done in the energy of the flesh. You forget that we are the circumcision that worship God in spirit and in truth. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and we have no confidence in the flesh. You'll be talking another gospel, another story. You will forget that Christ is your qualification. Because you've given your ears to the living, the yeast of the Pharisees. Pastor, we start saying, Pastor, you don't understand. And these days have been broken. Somebody say what it feels. Sound doctrine gap. You've not been hearing. You've been hearing something different. Because in this place, the spirit of faith is upon us. And faith is not mute. Faith is a loudspeaker. Oh, we speak what we believe. He said, we have in the same spirit of faith. We believe, as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. He said, we also believe, and therefore we speak. So here we speak what we believe. Doctrine. So it's not something you say, no, we're living for pastor, dividing the... No. Doctrine, it determines how your life should go. Yeast causes activities. When God wants to do his thing, he will do it. And the guy is suffering a gap in sound doctrine. You say, this Christianity is when you get to heaven, you know if your book is in the book of, your name is in the book of life or not. We don't know. Just be very, very careful. Those are the people that saw, those are the people that see. Somebody say, be born again is not enough. They are born again people in hell.
A gap
in sound doctrine. There is a pastor in hell. Didn't you hear Sister Ngongong's testimony that she went to hell? Those demonic people, you go, you will see them write divine revelation of hell. They'll be playing it. I was in here, and then you go to buy. You have a gap in sound doctrine. They'll not see Hitler in hell. It's pastors who are alive, they are seen in hell. That's to show you that something is wrong. doctrine.
You say, that's how this pastor, he was good, though. He was good, a good man, good all his life. Then one day, church gave him 10,000 to buy something for himself. He's supposed to return change. And then he had 2,000 left. And he did not give to church. Then he died the next day. He now went to hell. A gap in sound doctrine. You think God is petty? No, that's what you were taught. God is petty. No, hold on, hold on. You read in 1 Corinthians 13. What did God tell you? Concerning your wife, your brethren, human beings. He said, love is patient. Love is kind. Love keeps no record of wrong. God expects you not to keep record of wrong. Then you are thinking that he keeps record of wrong. A gap in sound doctrine. Can I talk to you? A gap. You know, one of the things we're going to take seriously in this ministry, one of the things we take seriously is doctrine. Is doctrine then power? Because that is the order in which the apostles practiced it. They continue steadfastly. First in the apostles' doctrine. Because it is from this doctrine that the power will flow with the intention that God had in mind. The power is flowing, it's not enough. It must meet, it must operate within the jurisdiction of the word, and it must meet the expectation of the Father. Did you read the Bible? He said, we did miracles in your name. He said, depart, I knew you not. Those were not believers, but they did supernatural things. Doctrine. Are you blessed already? You see, in this life, being born again and having eternal life is all that God wants. All this prosperity we are talking about, God is not interested in prospering his people. Gap in sound doctrine. By the time we start dissecting the gospel of the kingdom, you will see that influence and affluence are the wheels upon which every ideology, listen, upon which every gospel, upon which every mission is carried out on the earth. But they were not taught. What they were told was escapism. Now that you're born again, be very, very be careful so that you are rapturable. You say, brethren, be very, very be careful. No, I'm not real life story. Somebody used to tell us that. I say, brethren, be very, very be careful. Glory to God. Are you here? Thank you, Lord. So, what is sound doctrine? Can a pastor cook up sound doctrine? Can somebody go to a portion of the Bible and say, look, this is what this place is saying. And in my own opinion, this is sound doctrine. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Every scripture was written by the inspiration of God. And God has an intention for every scripture. And every scripture can never mean what he never meant. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 14. Let's start from there. Hey. 2 Timothy, are we ready? We're just about to start and my time is... boom. I'm sure you don't want me to start as in... Hallelujah. So listen, in the New Testament, verse 15 rather, in the New Testament, there's a definiteness to what sound doctrine means. There's a definiteness. Like I said earlier, it is not subjective. There is. It's clear. And we have scriptures to read to show you that the apostles talked about the doctrine. The model of doctrine. The doctrine. You see those expressions in the epistles. So it's not about, this is my opinion, this is your opinion. About this word, Shah, this is what I think he's saying. About this word, this is what I think this one is saying. No. He said, study to show yourself approved unto God. By the way, the word study there is spudazo. It doesn't mean to read. He's saying give diligence. It means to make effort. That's what spudazo means. Do you understand? That means, let's complete it. Give diligence. Make effort to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed. Rightly. Rightly. Labor kaya. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Pause. That means there's the right way to divide the word. But it takes effort. That's what they say. You don't lie down on your bed. Holy Ghost, you owe me something. Holy Ghost, bless your anointing. Oh Lord, as we your children are gathered here today, show us your mercy, Lord. Let everything we do prosper, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What's our memory verse today? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. It doesn't come like that. It's a spudazo. Give effort. Give effort. Make effort. Be diligent. To show yourself approved unto God as a workman. And through that, or rather, as a workman who can rightly divide the word of truth. That's our focus. To rightly divide the word of truth. To rightly divide the word of truth. To rightly divide the word of truth. The Greek word is orthotomio. You know, from where they got orthopedics from. It means to make a straight cut. It means to dissect and expand correctly. Anybody who has done surgery here, some of our doctors in the house will tell you. In the house will tell you. For every operation, there's a precise incision. If you want to take out maybe an appendix, you don't cut like you are doing a laparotomy. Sorry, laparotomy is we open people's abdomen up, just open it. Maybe you're operating on the intestines or the stomach or something. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody is getting freaked out right now. Just calm down. Amen. He's talking about to make a straight cut, to dissect correctly, to expand correctly. That means there are rules to dividing the word. And those rules are within scriptures. That means there's a way, there's a set way. You can't decide that in my own opinion. Is it rightly dividing the word of truth? Are you still here? You can't invent it. It has to be according to what God intends. Hallelujah. There's a definiteness. Now, let me just take a little digression. Oh dear, I'm out of time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pray in the spirit where you are. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Mo capeto sila cobra de capososto probacoto sila cabra de cap. M. Jo pate fribetos casto bratella cosaba de capoto. Zom to caprebecosos tapora de la coses tapora. Zom grapecoses tapora de ca. Enta fepetos kila pronda sos tapora baca. Zos tapora de la casos tapora bacatosa. Ila com skesh ta pronda sos ta pora de la scapatola di caprebeca. Inca patoses ta pora de la sapranda caposos ta pora de la capai. Surre petos sepida capatoses ta ponda di caproscapata. Rebi la sapatole brida cosos ta pronda capatoses ta pora de la ca. Sholi la sapranda kibasos ta pora de la capai. Monta libra sosta pora de la caposa. Ila sosta pora de la casom sta pora da sapana. Shalis capranda sosta pora de la capa. Zurepana casesta pora de la sapana. Ombra de la sasta tora de la consesta pala. Sofra petosi la combra toskista pora de la. Lezo sta pora de la capatons calida consesta pa. In the labo semanina nanaba. Just be on your feet. Lift your head, soda. Malalo semanina. Oh, you reign forever. Just be on your feet. Can we have the communion? Just keep speaking in tongues. You reign forever. Oh, your kingdom knows no end.
Your kingdom knows no end.
Your glory knows no
bounds. Your glory knows no
bounds. Oh, your kingdom knows no end.
Your kingdom knows no end.
Oh, your glory knows no bounds. Listen, we're about to do something very significant. Very significant. I mean, we cannot overemphasize the significance of this. We have done teachings around this, amen. We cannot overemphasize it. We've done teachings around this. You can get them, amen. Listen, anything is possible at this table. Historians and research has shown that the Eucharist, that's what they call them, right? In statistics, they are the longest living believers on the earth. What does that tell you? The power of belief system. The power of belief system. There's an honor and a reverence they give to the communion. And makes it have such an impact on their lives. Well, and Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 11, amen. There's an honor and reverence that will give to the communion. On this table, bad habits can be broken. Sicknesses can be healed. Contracts can be gotten. Jobs can be gotten. It's something we have experienced in multiplied measure in this place. So I want you to focus. And before we break bread, this is second service online. I'm in the overflow. Just bow your heads, everyone. Just do God this honor. Bow your heads, everyone. Close your eyes. You are in this service. You are yet to give your heart to the Lord, or you're watching online. You are yet to give your heart to the Lord. You're not born again yet. I want to pray for you. If you're in this hall, in the overflow hall, you want to give your life to Christ. You want to rededicate your life to Christ. You are not sure you are born again, whatever category, just raise your hand where you are. This is not to display you as a worst sinner, but this is giving you an opportunity to have a relationship with the Lord. What God is after is a relationship. It's a relationship, not a religion. Right where you are, I send Dr. Caris, pray for me. Lift your right hand where you are. Right where you are. We are giving you the privacy of this moment. In this place, that is the only requirement for partaking of the communion. Right where you are, lift your right hand up. God bless you, my brother over there. Lift your right hand up. Lift your right hand up. All heads bowed. All eyes closed. Lift your right hand up. In the overflow, lift your right hand up. Lift your right hand up. Leko pasi leko breduska. Do we have people attending to them? Do we have people attending to them? Give them cards. Do we have people? Thank you, Jesus. Keep them high. Keep them high. Keep them high. Keep them high. This is your moment. If you're watching online, there's a link there. There's a LinkedIn there. As you're watching, just click the link. Click the link. It will take you to a form. Just fill it and we'll reach you. But as you fill the form, I want you to pray this prayer with us. Watching online, or you are doing that in the hall, I want you to pray this prayer with us. God is real and He is for you. There's no need to deny Him. No, there's no need to deny the Lord. And we're going to pray together now. Those of you with your hand lifted, what to do to be born again is simple. You believe in your heart the sacrifice of Jesus. You believe that it's for you. And then you will confess with your mouth His Lordship over your life. And by doing that, a legal transaction takes place. Your sins are forgiven and eternal life is planted into your spirit. So I need you to do that. Somebody will get to you with form with your hands lifted. Keep the hand lifted. Keep the hand. You can hold the form with one hand. Keep the hand lifted. You will pray this prayer. You will pray it out loud. Now, the other people in the church are going to help you pray it. Is that okay? We'll pray it together. But you need to pray it out loud. Believe in every part of that prayer. Are you ready? Say, dear God, I believe that you love me. I believe that Jesus is your son. He died for my sins. He was raised after 3 days for my justification. Today, dear Lord Jesus, I confess you as the Lord of my life. I confess you as my Lord and Savior, and I receive forgiveness of sin. I receive eternal life into my spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for saving me according to your word. Satan, your power is broken over my life. From today, I declare that I am a new creation. All things are passed away. Everything has become new. Thank you, Father, for loving and saving me. Thank you for restoring me in Jesus' mighty name. And somebody shout amen. Ooh, glory! I thought somebody was going to rejoice. Are we carnal in this place? We are not. Amen. The Bible says there's joy in heaven over one person that repents. Amen. How much joy do we have at Glory Zone? Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Precious Jesus, thank you for your body broken for us. Thank you for your blood poured out for us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What is it that you desire, people? The Lord told us on the first of this month, that was on Tuesday, you can put up at Genesis 26 verse 13. The Lord told us, and it was very clear. He says it's our month of notable progress. That means in every area of your life, you are making notable progress. Go ahead and rejoice. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, and the man waxed great and did what? Went forward. Oh, somebody is not seeing that. And the man waxed great and did what? Went forward. See, I'm moving forward. Shout it, say I'm moving forward. Shout it, say I'm moving forward. I am growing. I am making notable progress. How many of you believe that this morning? How many of you believe that God has sent me as a prophet over you? And when I speak over you, it comes to pass. Say it with me. In this month of June, it is notable progress in every area of my life. Spiritually, I'm making progress. And it is notable in the name of Jesus. In my family life, I'm making notable progress. And it's notable in the name of Jesus. In my finances, I'm making notable progress. In my academics, mental development, I'm making notable progress. In ministry, I'm making notable progress. In the name of Jesus, in that business, in that idea, I am making notable progress. Shout it. Say it. Hallelujah. He says, and he grew until he became very great. If you read the next verse, it says, and the Philistines envied him. He had possessions of flocks and all that, and the Philistines envied him. People will envy you this month. I don't know who believes, so I say people will envy you this month. And by that I mean, look at how God has lifted this person. Especially those who mocked you. I prophesy to someone. People who have mocked you, who have looked down on you, who have even rejected you, that treated you with disdain, I speak by the Spirit, under this unction, upon this holy altar, by the anointing of God's Spirit, that this month, lekapato sebatia, lipatonda kepatalate, bash, they will envy you. I said they will envy you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Precious Lord, we receive your body broken for us. Receive your blood poured out for us. Is this not the communion, a token of our common union with you? Both the body and the blood. Thank you. The ceiling is broken because we are in your circle now. We have broken beyond the limitations of man because we are in common union with you. Thank you, Father. I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody, you are going to do something notable. It's going to be a month of notable, seriously, notable accomplishment for you. You will accomplish what you have not accomplished before. Something big is coming your way. In the name of Jesus, we bless the body and the blood, and we take it reverently. Can we have the worship team sing, and then we'll share the communion? Just don't be distracted when you take it. Pray in tongues and voice your expectation.
Oh, you reign forever.
You reign forever.
Lift your hands. Lift your hands like you are ready to receive. Every manipulation of hell around your life, around your finances, around your business, lift your hands. Every deception around you, every deception around your home, relationship, finance, business, mark my words. Every manipulation of hell, I stand upon this holy altar by the power of the Spirit and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command that they are exposed and ejected. I decree and declare, Lepatusa, every manipulation of hell against your life, destiny, finance, business, pate balate. Shapali topa, pass, be gone. I command them to be gone from you in the name of Jesus. Anything and everything that looks like deception around you, in the name of Jesus, I command that you are exposed. Be exposed. People pretending around you, people trying to harm you but pretending as friends, around business, family life, finances, lepetola pribekuta, vila kapa, we engage this anointing and I declare that those deceptions are exposed in the name of Jesus. And every arrow of death, lift your hands, every arrow of death and destruction sent in your direction, lepatole pribekata, Shebila kombrakti kapaya, shepetola pelatosa, on ground, online, across our churches, shepeta, malate, pass. I declare those arrows return back to who sent them. In the name of Jesus, palatobelika. And every affliction in your body, every stranger in your body, moving objects in the body, infections, swellings, pains, diagnosis, kalabota, sugar, diabetes, hypertension, cancers, HIV, sickle cell disease, it doesn't matter the name they are called, I stand in blood. In the blood of the everlasting covenant, I stand, leta pepatilapa, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Christ of God, the Son of the living God. I command those strangers, I command those afflictions to be out of your body. Get out of their bodies. Get out of their minds. Get out of their blood. Get out of their kidneys. In the name of Jesus, every moving object in your body right now, let the fire of God burn them up as I'm talking, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whatever has been hanging over you that is supposed to have dropped, that has not dropped, will you lift your hands? I'm prophesying monies, opportunities, marriage. For some, it's as though somebody will come before they know it, nothing works. Lift your hands. In your finances, business, marriage, education, academics, likapata, I speak by the prophetic anointing upon me. Leka betatola bata, embaratonda super, whatever has been hanging that is supposed to drop, lepa tetatila, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, they have dropped upon you. I said they have dropped upon you. They have dropped upon you. In the name of Jesus, they have dropped upon you. Somebody here, in 24 hours, your testimony shall be shared. In 24 hours, your testimony shall be shared. Somebody, before next week's Sunday, your testimony shall be shared. In the name of Jesus, and so shall it be. I say, so shall it be. Thank you, Father. Yes. 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 For someone, the circle of that testimony is complete. One part has happened. It's as though the second and the third part have not happened. I decree and declare. The circle of that testimony is complete. For somebody, God showed you a sign already. But it's as though you have not seen the substance. I declare. The circle of that testimony is complete. And there's a full manifestation of that which the Lord has done. In the name of Jesus. You will rush to the office with your testimony. You will say, you are rushing, Pastor, I can't believe it. This is remarkable. In the name of Jesus. And for those believing for jobs, you know, my area, a major part of my calling is placing men in the marketplace. You are believing God for a job in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether contract job or salary earning job, in the name of Jesus, take it. I said take it. Thank you Father. Father, we love you in Jesus' name. Go ahead and rejoice.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.